Joining us now in our studio a little bit earlier than the normally scheduled time, it's Superintendent Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Bright and early here today. Gorgeous morning on Division Street, despite the Twins going 2-for-26 or something like that last night.
Yeah, tough night last night for the local team. But hey, we've got an easy Houston squad down in Houston the next three games, so all's going to be good in Twins
territory.
Sweep
the Astros for sure.
let's talk about. Pardon me. First of all, let's talk about why you're in here early. You've got some new teachers that are starting up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we have 17 new teachers who are starting today. We had some of our new special education teachers who started yesterday. But new teaching staff have an opportunity to come in a few days before the rest of the staff. We have some additional meetings. We give them some additional time in their classroom, being able to get familiar with how Northfield does things in the area that they're going to teach. You know, we know there's a teacher shortage across the country. We know these 17 individuals have many choices. They could basically pick where they want to work. So we're very grateful that they've chosen Northfield Public Schools. Our reputation is such that people do want to be here. While we did have some difficulty filling some positions, we were in far better shape for our teaching positions than other places have been experiencing this summer. So we're really grateful for our community who has continued to support us, our existing staff and families, you know, who give Northfield Public Schools the reputation where people want to come here to teach. And so we're excited to start with those 17 new teachers in about an hour.
Those new teachers, are they spread out across the school district as far as ages goes? Are there any certain type of ages that you're looking for that you've had problems with, problems filling the staff?
You know, so the new staff are all over the board. We have some new elementary classroom teachers. We have some new special education teachers. We have some new teachers, you know, at the secondary level as well. I think that it's still, even though the pools of candidates are less than they were before, I think we're still getting a really large pool of candidates for elementary teaching positions. But when we start to talk about secondary positions and special education positions, that's where we see less people with licensure going into those areas. So we did take full advantage of the tiered licensing system that the Professional Educator Licensing Standards Board, PELSB, is the group that governs teacher licensure in Minnesota. So we were able to utilize their tiered licensing system to bring some really quality people in who may not have fit the traditional teacher preparation model. So really hats off to our building principals, to our HR department for working to secure quality people who are going to lead our children this year and in their year of learning and growth.
Last night, the school board did meet, and we have talked about the school levy that will be on the ballot on November, there that you were believing was going to be on the ballot in November. That is now going to be a reality. It will be on the ballot in November. Tell us about this particular levy, and I guess we have to make sure that we don't confuse it with a new high school or some of the other conversations that we've had.
Right. So we want to be very clear that what is on the ballot in November is a two-question. It's a two-part ballot question, and it's about our capital projects levy. So the capital projects levy is funding that we get from the community that provides some additional resources for us to be able to do things like maintain and improve our buildings and our grounds. So for things like repairing sidewalks, being able to do some small renovations like we did in the high school office this summer, small renovations like we did at Bridgewater Elementary, where we took two smaller office spaces and created a near full-size classroom. It also does not very exciting things, but things that are important, like tuck pointing, where you're filling the mortar in between the bricks to make sure that water doesn't get into the building. So one part of the funding allows us to improve and maintain our buildings and grounds. It also allows us to purchase materials and equipment to support our staff and students. So this ranges, you know, from things like textbooks to a snowplow if you needed it, to technology equipment, to science equipment, all the kinds of things that we need to supplies, materials, and equipment that we need to be able to have our staff and students, you know, have a great experience at school and to be able to take care of our facilities as well. And then the third part, which is really important this time around, is there's a very specific group of employees who we can pay their salary and benefits from the capital projects levy. And in this case, it's five technicians in our technology services department. We have a total of 6 technology services staff members who serve over 4,000 students and staff and probably around 4,500 or more devices, computers, iPads, things like that within the district. That group of employees, their salary and benefits can be paid from the capital projects levy. Listeners to this program know that, like many schools across Minnesota and the country, we're dealing with declining enrollment, which precipitated some budget prioritization that we did last school year. This strategy would move about $500,000 of salary and benefits out of our general fund into this capital projects levy. Now, I can't say it's going to prevent future budget reductions, but it certainly would minimize those future budget reductions from our general fund. So that's the scope of the capital projects levy, Jeff. And then what we're asking for is renewal at the existing tax rate. So this is one that is based on a tax rate, which is based on the net tax capacity across the entire system. And then we're asking a second question to renew that. So all in all, if we just get down to what would it generate, passing both questions would increase our capital projects levy annually from about $750,000 to $1.65 million per year. And if I'm an owner of a $350,000 house, that would increase my taxes by $81 a year, around $12.33 per month. So it's compared to all of the other kinds of levies that the school asks for, this one is a fairly economical ask. So we are just simply asking the voters to consider both questions, renewing at the existing tax rate. And because it's a tax rate, of course, even renewing it makes your taxes go up a little bit, and then adding the additional authority. I'm not going to get into the percentages here today because that's getting into the weeds. The bottom line is that, you know, we are going to use the dollars to make sure that we take care of our buildings and grounds, purchase necessary supplies and equipment for our staff and students, and pay for our existing technology services staff out of this fund so we can relieve the general fund of that budget pressure, minimizing the amount of budget reductions we'd have to do in the future. If you have a $350,000 house in Northfield, it would increase your taxes by $81 a year.
Once again, Superintendent Hillman is with us a little bit early today. We're going to move on. We have quite a few topics to talk about today, so we're going to move on. School improvement plans. We're just, is it 2 weeks from today that school starts, or is that 3 weeks from today?
It is 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today school starts.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Now, the schools are tasked with having an improvement plan every year. What did you hear last night?
So last night, we had the elementary schools improvement plan and the middle school improvement plan. And so the elementary schools, Greenvale Park Elementary, Bridgewater Elementary, Spring Creek Elementary, those three schools come together now and do a singular across-the-district continuous improvement plan. Now, while all of those buildings, of course, are unique and have their own personality, if you will, they also have some common goals. So Principal Nancy Antoine, Principal Sam Richardson, Principal Scott Samus came and presented the work, and really focusing on a number of different areas specific to academic improvement in mathematics and reading. In mathematics, they're really looking at fact fluency. That means that you know your addition, subtraction, your multiplication, your division, that you're able to process that in your head, some of those basic fluency. Think of them as times tables, right, from when we went to school. The concept is that if we are able to get students who are able to do that calculation and those facts in their head, that that's going to help them be able to tackle more complicated mathematical concepts. Reading, we are, as we've talked about many times before, Jeff, we're leaning into the science of reading and continuing to improve the percentage of students who are reading at grade level by the end of third grade. And then, of course, we're working on our social-emotional learning. Kids need to know that they belong, that they are loved, that they are. We want them there at school. Kids don't care what you know until they know that you care. So that's a big part of elementary school. And then, of course, continuing with the work that we have in our anti-racism goals to make sure that every student feels that they belong and sees themselves as part of our community. And so that was the elementary school improvement plan. Middle school improvement plan, somewhat similar. They have really been focused on making sure that middle school kids do feel connected to the school. We talk a lot about what I call domino goals. That means a goal that if we are able to achieve it, that it with a domino effect, a number of other things come along with it. And at that middle school age, when kids are undergoing the greatest rewiring of their brain since they were a toddler, that is so important that they feel connected. And if they feel connected and they feel that teachers care about them, they are more likely to be able to engage in content. the middle school is also putting together, implementing a program this year called AVID, and it's called Achievement Via Individual Determination. And this helps create some consistent practices across the whole school. So more teachers use a similar note-taking approach, more teachers use similar language when they're talking about academic concepts. And it's a way to make sure that students have some consistency at this age in their day. And what the studies from other schools have shown, this really dramatically improves academic achievement, especially for students who may have been very close to that line of whether they were proficient or not. So two great school improvement plans last night. Principal Greg Gelino did an excellent job of sharing their goals. And of course, people can watch their presentations, you know, via recording of our board meeting, which we post to our school website every Tuesday after a board meeting.
All right. Superintendent Hillman with us. Let's move on. With the start of the school, I'm looking at the schedule. Today, the fall sports season actually begins. We have a tennis match today. The girls' varsity tennis match plays the their season opener, so things are underway. There have been certain unfortunate incidents in our area, our greater area, southern Minnesota, in recent years about behavior of not just the students, but the people who attend the games, the spectators and such. And that, I know, has been a topic of discussion with you before, and it probably still a topic of discussion last night. What did you come up with?
So I think we know across the country that we have seen, I think part of it is the disruption in some of the opportunities that people had to attend events during the pandemic. We also see some, raucous kind of behavior at the college and at the professional level. And so those kinds of things can trickle into high school athletics. And specifically what we're talking about are spectators who are attending the games. And so we want Northfield to be known as a place where spectators cheer passionately for our teams while maintaining a sense of decorum, Jeff, right? We're a proud community. We want to make sure that people in other communities feel welcome while they're here. And we want to set the standard for what does it like to be, is it like to be passionate fans while doing so in a positive way. New Northfield High School Activities Director Bubba Sullivan has done a great job of looking at what can we do here. It's a national problem, right? He says he can't open his email any day without emails from various organizations that he works with that are talking about spectator behavior. So Bubba, of course, is a man of action, so he went to what can we do here, right here in Northfield, to be able to make this better here, and he's implemented what's called a Bleacher Captain program. And so Bleacher Captains are student leaders who pledged to lead a student section that only cheers positively for our Northfield Raider teams. So they're going to seek to avoid cheers that single out individual players or are negative or disrespectful about the opposing team, and they're going to they're not going to focus on referees. And so we know that this abhorrent behavior that we've seen across the country has had some dramatic impact on kids. First of all, there are fewer adults who are willing to coach. And we know that a lot of it is due to this kind of behavior. We also have a mass exodus, and I'm not saying that to be dramatic. We have a mass exodus of people who want to referee. It is so impactful that schools are having to extend the number of days that they might schedule contests. And we've seen contests have to be rescheduled because there aren't enough referees to go around for various sports. So to the adults listening, I'm asking that you be good role models for our students. We want to have a very passionate and exciting place where people can come to a game and cheer positively for the Raiders. But we want to show everyone that we are going to set the standard for being positive, being loud, and avoiding those kinds of negative cheers that we have seen. That, of course, once things get going, that's where you start to see the real negative behavior, that one-upsmanship, and just people really not having the right perspective about what high school athletics are about. High school athletics are about an opportunity to learn, to grow, to have some safe pressure. But we also have to know that kids are watching us. And so when kids engage in that kind of behavior, the adults need to look at themselves in the mirror because we're the ones who have taught them that. So I am requesting that we want you all to come to our games. We're excited about that. But we want to model the kind of spectator behavior that we have come to expect over the years at Northfield and make sure that we're that shining light for positive excitement in the Raider Gymnasium and on our courts and fields and at the swim meets and all those kinds of things.
I have a friend of mine that is an official, very involved in the officials' unions. And yes, mass exodus is right. And I've talked to him about that. And it's because of, well, he blames a certain certain type of people, but family members in particular. But yeah, it is, man. The officials don't get paid all that much. They're out there because they love the game, and they love to, you know, see the kids participate in a lot of different team sports and such. So please, yeah, give them a break. Leave them alone. They're out there just trying to do the best that they can. And yeah, it is, I would imagine, starting to show as far as scheduling goes. There just aren't that many officials to go around.
We know that high school activities are an important part of student development.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have people who are willing to coach, we don't have people who are willing to referee, what kind of experience are they going to have? And we have to remember that even though these are teenagers and sometimes they look like adults, they're still kids, and they are learning from us as the adults. So, Raider fans, let's be positive.
All right. We got a few more minutes. Let's move along. You have, I wrote down here survey to ask you about a survey, and yeah. I can't recall what that exactly was, but please tell us.
Well, Jeff, as you know, again, I want to make sure that we're drawing a bright line between what we talked about, the capital projects levy that's going to be on the ballot in November, and what this voter survey that we're going to move forward with is going to do. So, you know, we've been talking about Northfield High School for quite some time. We've really been wrestling with what are the next steps to make sure we invest and take care of that facility that we have. So there's a several pathways forward, as we've discussed. So we feel that it's important before bringing anything to the voters that we get a better sense of what the community would support. And so we're contracted with a company called Morris Leatherman to conduct a voter survey. Now, it's a randomized, stratified sample survey. So Morris Leatherman, we're working with them right now on the process. But in a few weeks, they're going to make contact with around 400 school district voters. They're going to have a set of questions ranging between 35 and 40 questions that they would ask people to get their feedback about potential solutions that we have for taking care of the high school, including what people might be willing to pay for that. And that's going to give information to the board that they are going to be able to then make what we think is the best pathway forward for the high school facility. One of our strategic commitments is stewardship, taking care of our facilities, is that our other facilities are in very good shape. We've taken great care of them. We've got some new facilities. We've taken very good care of the high school, but it was late 1960s when it was constructed. Additions since then, there are parts of the building that certainly need a refresh. They need some mechanical work, things like that. And then thinking about what is the kind of learning space that we want for our kids in the 21st century. So we're going to be doing this voter survey to give us some more information. We respect the voters tremendously. The voters are always right. We want to be able to bring a question to them that we think that they would support. What's the right pathway forward? And this is a professional way for us to be able to get that information. So don't be surprised if you get a call in about a month, right, about Northfield School District facility survey.
All right. And that was my next question. When is it coming out? Fairly soon. Anything else that you would like to pass along while we have you in here, Superintendent Hillman?
You know, there are so many things. The last thing, I think, none of us want to be thinking on this beautiful day about winter, but this is the time of year that, you know, we start to think about those things because we're always planning a few months out. So once again this year, for probably the fifth year in a row, Northfield School District will use something called an e-learning plan to support students on days when we cannot come into school because of weather. We don't use e-learning on the first day that's canceled by weather. That's a true snow day, a Minnesota rite of passage. But on the second and subsequent days, Jeff, we'll go back to using our e-learning plan, which means that students have assignments that they complete at home. Their teachers are available. They're able to make connections with them. Our e-learning plan will undergo a little bit of a tweak this fall, and then we'll share it with parents usually late September in advance of the winter. But we just want people to know that, yes, on the second and subsequent days when we aren't able to transport students to school because of weather, they'll learn at home through the e-learning plan that we have. This is intended to be a bridge through a winter event that disrupts transportation. It is not distance learning like we had to do during the pandemic. It is really more of a bridge, and so it looks a little bit different, but we're pleased to be able to keep the schedule and continue learning forward, even when Minnesota weather tries to disrupt that.
The Farmer's Almanac, there was a story that just moved across the wire this morning. That
70 and sunny the whole winter?
No, they're saying the north central region will be a, quote, hibernation zone with frigid temps this winter.
Well, frigid temps, you know, all the skiers out there, I don't know that they want snow, and the snow can come all at once on the weekends, but we just prefer it to stay away during transportation times.
Well, I'm happy to say the Farmer's Almanac does not have the greatest reputation as far as predicting the weather.
Well, if you say it on KYMN, I know it's true, Jeff, so.
I was using air quotes.
Okay,
there.
Very good point.
Quotes. So, Superintendent Hillman, thank you so much for being with us. Much appreciated, and we'll invite you back, next time you're here, next week. 2 weeks, whatever.
My pleasure. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks.
Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. You're listening to 95.1 FM and AM 1080 KYMN Northfield.